Hey, Wade here, and I would first off like to thank my sponsor, Tower Safety, at towersafety.com, all one word, towersafety.com. They can be reached at 480-313-0678, and they can provide your tower techs with all the training that they need. Tower Safety and Rescue, OSHA, first aid, CPR, things like that. They also are going to start a drone program in December because then you can do drone inspections and have a certified drone pilot. How are they going to do that? They're going to create a program just for you. What do you need to do? Call them at 480-313-0678. You can go out to them in Phoenix, Arizona, or they will come to you. You just have to set the terms. And now, let's get on with the podcast. Wade for Wireless here, and today I want to talk about the RRH. For those of you that don't know, the RRH is a remote radio head. It's the outdoor unit, the unit in a macro development or even a C-RAN where you would have the radio up, usually up on a tower, or it'd be separate from the BBU. The BBU is a baseband unit. So what you want to do is mount that usually as close to the antenna as possible to minimize loss. There's a debate going on in the industry, whether you mount the RH high or low. Should it be high or should it be low? Well, here's probably what you want to do. The carrier is going to make the decision, but it's going to be based on a couple different things. Now, I'm going to give the pros and cons of being high or low. Now, if you go to wadeforwireless.com, I have a little, you know, diagram of basically how the system's set out. Very simple, single sector. Normally, when you have the RHs at a macro site where you have a full tower site, you're going to have several sectors. And it used to be they thought you would have one RH per sector, but now with all the frequencies, they're trying to combine them. They're trying to do a lot of different things. So now instead of having, say, one remote radio head per sector, it seems like you have multiple ones. You have different bands, you have LTE, CDMA. They're trying to put them all in one unit. They're getting heavier. You know, they started out like when you had tower top amplifiers, they were a few pounds. Now you're talking 50 pounds, 80 pounds, 100 pounds. If you have one that's 30 pounds, it's nice. 30 pounds. And now normally they started with three sectors, but now you could have six, you could have nine, you could have 12, you could have different levels. And now if you have three carriers on the tower and each one has nine sectors, nine times three is 27, 27 remote radio heads. 27 times 50, you know, that's going to be what? 135 pounds. All extra weight on the tower, not to include all the boxes you have to put up there, because what they usually run up is fiber cable between the shelter, the cabinet, whatever you have in the ground. But let's just say the BBU. Between the BBU and the RH, they have HyberFlex cable. HyberFlex, it's basically a hybrid cable, right? It's going to have fiber in it, and then it's going to have copper for power. You run that up, and on top of the tower crew has to put it, run it into a box, which probably has to be weatherproof, where they break out the power and they have to run power to each remote radio head. Then they have to break out the fiber, and there's two ways to do it. You could run fiber to each radio head, or you could have it daisy chained. So now you have, you know, it's just all this extra work up on the tower. The fiber is delicate. Most tower climbers didn't have the fiber skills until recently, and luckily fiber came a long way. You don't have to do near the things you used to have to do to clean it, terminate it, and plug it in. Remember, a clean fiber jumper is a happy fiber jumper. So now you run it up, you terminate the fiber, you break it out, it has to go to each remote radio head. It's a lot of work, okay? So let's talk about the highs and the lows. Now that you have the understanding of what it is, the highs and the lows, what do I mean by that? I'm going to tell you right now. When it's high, it's up on the tower and mounted right there with all the right there with the antenna. And when it's mounted with the antenna, the RF jumpers, in theory, should be as short as they possibly can be. You know, the way they do the mounts, it could be right behind the antenna. I know they were trying to actually put the remote radio head in the antenna. The antennas themselves are getting heavier, too, because they're asking so much more of the antenna. And you have MIMO, which is multiple in, multiple out. I didn't really get into that in the article. We have enough problems as it is. I just have it on the drawing. But maybe I'll add it in. You have multiple RF cables now between your remote radio head and the antenna, because with LTE, you have multiple receive and you can have multiple transmit. Multiple transmits, common actually, because in your cell phone, they usually have multiple receive antennas anyway. It used to be diversity, but now they're doing it more for loading, for data to pass more data, shove it right into the phone. You know, you want to shove as much data as you can, get as much bandwidth as you can and shove it in there. On the tower, you could have all these jumpers. And when the remote radio head is on top of the tower, the jumpers are short. They're probably swept before they even go up. You have to worry about PIM, obviously, but very short jumpers, very quick, very easy. Fiber is generally a little cheaper than a lot of these RF jumpers. The RF jumpers, if they're pre-made, you put them up there, everybody's happy. That was another skill that a lot of tower climbers should have, but I think a lot of them may be forgetting. The guys that have been around for a few years know how to terminate them, and it takes a while to learn how to terminate some of them. You have tools. Times microwave made it a lot easier, if anyone ever worked with that cable cell. But I digress. Let's get back here. Mount it high in the tower. What are the pros? The pros are the short jumpers. The pros are it's relatively close to the antenna, so you have minimal RF loss, because that's one of the things that you really have a problem with is the RF loss between the jumper and between the remote radio head and the antenna. Now, at 2.5 gig, it's a big deal. Loss is heavy through a lot of these cables. At 700 megahertz, it's not so bad. You know, you're on the cable up. Loss is minimal. You save a lot of money on RF jumpers, because if you have to run the cable up the tower, the cons are cable's pretty expensive. You spend a lot of money for that. You have to sweep each cable after it's installed. It's a little more work up front, and you have higher loss in the cable running it up the tower. So those are the cons of mounting it up on the tower. Another huge con of mounting the remote radio head on the tower is just the tower itself, the structural, the added loading to the tower, all the extra weight on the tower that can only hold so much. And it just really creates a lot of problems up front on installation. Another con is after the installation. So you have everything mounted, it works great. You know, about 3 months after it's mounted up there, you have a failure. Remote radio head could be dead, the fiber could be broke, the fiber may have just come loose. It wasn't pushed in properly, something like that. Anyway, whatever the problem, can the site tech fix it? No. Site tech has to go out, says it's up on the tower, anywhere beyond the fiber. All I know is the fiber's not talking to it. Remote radio head could be bad. The fiber could be broke. Fiber could just have popped out of the connector. There could be something wrong in the breakout box where the fiber goes into the box and then is broken out to run to the particular remote radio head that it should run to, assuming they did it that way. So now site tech has to go, hello, tower crew, I need you here. Tower crew says, everyone's out of town. What do you want from me? I can be there in a week. So the tower crew comes out, and then they charge whatever it is for a standard tower climb. You know, I would say two guys, obviously, safety first. Guy on the ground, guy in the air. Let's say it's a grand. I'm just going to throw it out there. So every time you have work done on the tower, it's a grand. Let's say they go up there and the remote radio head's bad. So they bring it down. Then you have to bring them out for a second climb to put the new remote radio head in. Then they probably have to make sure all the connections are good and so on. Anyway, you get the picture. It's going to cost a lot more money in maintenance. It's going to slow down maintenance because you have to schedule a climber to be there. Your site tech has to be on site when the climber's on site, because the climber has to know which sector, which individual unit they have to replace. So those are the cons of having it up in the air. Now, what some carriers have done is put the remote radio heads on the ground. Now, up front, they have to build a structure on the ground to hold the remote radio heads. You know, it's probably just rebar. It's probably just unistrut. It's unistrut in the ground. They put it in the ground, nice and solid. I would say that that's a con to pay for that, but it's not, because you'd probably have to put something on the tower to hold all this as well. You know, whether it's just the pipes, the clamps, the mounts. So it's a wash. That's a wash. Wherever you mount it, I look at it as a wash. On the ground, you might have to dig a hole and put concrete in the hole to hold it stable. I still look at the tower work. You got to lug everything up in the tower. So I'm saying that's a wash. The pros of having it in the ground, just like I said, if you have maintenance issues after the installation, the site tech can probably do 90% of the troubleshooting. He can probably even replace the remote radio head because it's on the ground. It's probably worst he has to do is put his ladder up to it, get out the tools, and just replace it. So that's a huge advantage. Repair time's quicker. You don't have to pay a tower crew to come out. You don't have to schedule it. Now, with that said, if something's wrong with the line beyond your remote radio head, you still need a tower crew. But I'm not talking about the antennas or the jumpers. That's a pro for having it on the ground. The other pro for having it on the ground, you don't have to beef up the tower. You save money on the integrity of the tower, the structural integrity. You don't have to beef it up. You save money lugging all that stuff up in the air with the tower crew. You know, now the grounds people, well, the tower crew will probably still mount it in the ground, but they're on the ground. They don't have to lug it up. They don't have to put all the extra hardware up on the tower, but they do have to build something on the ground. Now, those are the pros of the mounting it on the ground. The cons are you have RF cabling, coax. You have to run all the way up the tower. No more jumpers. So chances are you have to run this, cut it to length, get everything up there. You have to run it exactly where you want it to the antennas. And if you have MIMO, you're not running one cable per antenna. You're not running two cables per antenna for transmit and receive, depending upon what you have. If you have TDD, you know, it really is one cable per line. But if you have FDD, one for transmit, one for receive. If you have MIMO, it's going to be basically one for each input and output you have. What do I mean by the MIMO? It used to be, you had, they call them 2T, 2R, 2 transmit, 2 receive. Well, now they're up to 8 transmit, 8 receive, which if you have your device, your smartphone, that's awesome. It's kick-ass because you got tons of data coming down through it and up to it. So it's going back and forth at 4 times or 8 or 8 times or 8 in theory. You know, I'm sure there's a more complicated formula for all of those out there that are going to second guess it. Right in the middle, 4T, 4R, 4 lines of transmit, 4 lines of receive per antenna, 8 lines per antenna. That's a lot of coax to run up the tower. It's a lot of money. It's really going to build cost into your installation for just coax. With that said, you probably won't have to upgrade the tower too much. Your tower should be able to hold your antennas, even if they're 100 pounds each. If you have 3 sectors, 3 times 8 is 24. If you have 6 sectors, you have 48. If you have 9 sectors, you have what? 60, 72, sorry. So you have 72. Can you imagine 72 lines going up the tower now? That's a lot. You know, if you have to mount all that extra equipment to hold the lines. So at what point is it a wash? Is it when you first install, maybe if you only have 3 sectors, new site, a green field, not a big deal. But I got to tell you, it's a tough decision to make. But I wanted to give you the pros and cons of it because this is a big thing in the industry. But the biggest thing for the site techs is the time to repair. The biggest thing for the tower crew is putting everything up on the tower. The biggest thing for the tower owners is if you're going to add 12 remote radio heads to the tower and they're each 100 pounds, that's 1,200 pounds you're adding to the tower along with, say, 100-pound antennas. Let's say you have 12 antennas, 1,200 pounds of antennas. The jumpers, they add up. The HyperFlex cable, fiber's light and easy to run. You know, it's fairly easy to run up. You put everything on the ground, and let's say you have, you know, 3 sectors, 24 coax lines. That really isn't so bad. That's probably a standard installation for most of these guys. But now you have to sweep the cable and do all that. If your remote radio heads are on the ground, the site tech can troubleshoot all the way to the connection to the antenna, the jumper to the antenna, which in this case is, you know, a 200-foot run. But they can really do a lot more without having a tower crew come on site to help them troubleshoot. So what do you think's more important? What is more important to you? To be honest with you, if you're installing this, it probably just doesn't matter. What really matters is, what does a carrier want? Are they more concerned about troubleshooting and getting it fixed quickly, or are they more concerned with the upfront costs? Which, I don't know, it's sort of a wash when you look at the upfront costs. You're either going to put the money in the tower for the structural, or you're going to put the money in the coax lines for the initial installation, if you have a lot of suck. But whatever you start with, you don't have to stay that way. Obviously, you can jump back and forth, but I just wanted to make you guys aware. This gives you an idea of why the carriers make the decisions they make. I think the bigger carriers, I don't know, well, let me back up. Verizon, I know, would prefer to have things on the ground because they put a lot of faith in their site techs. They put a lot of faith that those guys are going to fix things the best they can. And they also understand that when they need a tower crew, it adds delay, which means their system's going to be limping along for a while. It won't be dead, but it'll be limping along. And it's also going to add cost. And I know with Verizon Wireless, at least the people I talk to in the Northeast and Southeast, they really like the stuff on the ground. In the southeast, take a lot of lightning hits. If you take a lightning hit and it's on the ground, you can troubleshoot most things unless the antenna's fried. But if the ODU is fried and it's on the ground, the site tech can replace it. And he may even have a spare, you know. Might have a spare. It might have to drive an hour or two to get a spare, but he can probably have it fixed the same day. Whereas if it's in the air and there was a storm and there were a bunch of lightning hits, every other company is going to be calling out these tower crews. Or if you have three or four sites that go down in a storm, not completely down, but are crippled in a storm, you're going to have to schedule this tower crew for a couple days, maybe a week, just to do all the work, the troubleshooting, replacements, and so on. All right. I hope that helps everybody out. Remember, be smart, be safe, pay attention to what you're doing. Just remember, we had some really bad accidents last week in the tower industry. So if you can, just pay attention to what's going on there. I know that poor guy that got shocked, his family has a fundraiser in GoFundMe. And if you guys can give something, that would be wonderful. I'll put a link in my blog for it. All right. Again, see ya.